Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's rise up. Let's not get Pastor Ken in trouble. We look unto the Most High God. Let's lift up our hands unto the Lord. Let's worship Him. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our praises. He's worthy of our adoration. It is because of Him that we're here. We're gathered because of Him. We're gathered for Him. We're gathered because He permitted it. Have your way in our midst, O God. Let your will be done. Let your purpose be fulfilled. Let your name alone be glorified. Father, we just want to thank you for this day. You woke us up this morning. You woke us up for a purpose. You ordered our steps here. Father, we know, O God, as you ordered our steps, we will not leave empty-handed. Thank you, O God, for gifts from God, from heaven. We know, O God, that we will receive the fullness of it. We will not miss our blessings. Our blessings will not miss us. Take all the glory, O God. Let your will prevail. Let your will take preeminence. Let your will be established. Let your will be enthroned. Thank you, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. God bless you. Amen. I just want us to just quietly pray for, even at this time of the year, there are still some people yet to be saved. Some of them come to church, some of them hear the word of God, but they are yet to take a decision. At this time of the year, there are some out there that are yet to be healed. We have prayed, they are praying, they are doing what they need to do. But we do not want to give up. We will not quit on God. If God has spoken, then God would make it come to pass in Jesus' name. At this time of the year, there are some people that are being held captive wherever across the globe, whether spiritual, physical, emotional, mental. We want to pray that they will be set free. Even the willing captive will be set free. Let us just bow our heads and just pray that if there be anyone unsaved, even at this time of the year, whether those we know, those we do not know, that the unsaved will be saved. That the Holy Spirit will convict them wherever they are across the globe. Friends, family, relatives, colleagues, neighbors, that the Holy Spirit will convict them. They will fall at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will give their lives. They will be saved. They will be sanctified. And they will serve God. Also, we want to pray if there be anyone that is sick, whether minor, critical, in the hospital, at home, wherever they are, whether they are aware of it, whether they are not aware of it, we want to pray there will be a restoration of health, healing of every wound. Within this season, there are gifts, and I believe that these ones will receive the gift of healing, the gift of divine health, in the name of Jesus Christ. Their testimonies will be many. What they could not do before, they will begin to do it. Whatever part of their organs need to be replaced, let it be replaced. Whatever part of their bodily organs need to be repaired, let it be repaired. Now I want us to pray for the captives to be set free. There are lots of things that people are being held, that is holding people captive, even at a time like this. We want to pray for liberty and freedom, that God would intervene. The arrow of deliverance will go forth. Wherever these ones have been locked up, let the chains be broken. Let the yokes be destroyed. And let the burdens be removed. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you because you will hasten to perform your word. You will deliver, you will save, and you will heal. Because the saints are crying and they are calling unto you. Thank you, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Congratulations and compliments of the season to everyone. Wishing you a Merry Christmas in advance. And also wishing you a happy and prosperous New Year in advance. Amen. No one would expire with this year. No one will go on a journey of no return. No accident, no violence, no evil report will be ahead of you or your family in the name of Jesus Christ. I want us to just quickly look at a scripture. Matthew chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 1 to 3. Then we also read verses 10 to 12. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And also read verses 10 to 12. And I go. This is the King James Version. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now we go over to verses 10 to 12. And the Bible talks about the same wise men. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. Verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And this scripture is a scripture that brings a lot of memories of how I got introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1993, December 25th, at a crusade or a Christmas program in Lagos, Nigeria, Tafa Balewa Square, the pastor, Dr. Oke Onuza, the message, wise men still seek Jesus, I can never forget. There I gave my life. And I never went back the same way, in the same way this wise man met with Jesus. Prior to then, I was one of those that never, thank God for my parents, they didn't bother me with church. For whatever reason, Sunday was a day you just spent time lying and waiting and resting and doing whatever you wanted to do. So I didn't have that initial experience of going to church. But anybody talks about God, I say, well, I'm a Catholic. That was my defense. I know God. I'm a Catholic. But I'd never seen the environment, and I never went. To the extent that when I eventually ended up in university, out of boredom, I was looking for a church on Sunday. And I found myself in the wrong place. And that was my first and last time there. But thank God, I went through a lot of not knowing the Lord. And eventually, as I grew up, I find myself acknowledging the presence of the Lord. Thank God for my mother. She was ended up going to the Catholic Church, praying for everybody. I ended up having to go and drop her in church. And what do? I go and take her to church. I drop her there. Sometimes I'm out there in the car park waiting. Or I drive and come back later. I'm just giving you a few insight to my background. I drive and come back later and pick her up. But in the year 1990, I believe in the year 1992, I had to go drop my sister. She said she wanted to go for a program at the Federal Palace in Lagos. And I agreed to drop her. It was a Christian program, as she told me. And I had an appointment in the same environment. And I took her there. And I dropped her. And I went for my appointment. And when I went for the appointment, I discovered that it has been canceled. So now I had nothing to do within the environment. Now my choice, my first choice was was to just go ahead and go back home, and home was like going all the way to Oshawa, then come back to pick her up. And there was a lot of traffic, and I now wondered, does it make sense to go back home and come back to pick her up? Why not just go ahead and attend? And I did attend. And when I went into the program, I saw a lot of people that I knew, and I saw a lot of people with nice suits, nice hats. You know those hats that if you are sitting behind people, you don't see what is going on, you have to. And they were looking gorgeously dressed. And the singing and everything, it just felt nice. I just felt, and when I left there, I knew that there was something that these people had that I didn't have. And I made inquiries. I ended up going for service once in a while. After a while, I ended up going for service regularly. I ended up finding a wife material. And suddenly, life was just, it was different. My life was just not what it was. But the only thing that happened, and I remember particularly, was that even though I was participating, I ended up becoming a worker. But I was not born again. I was just enjoying the environment. And I said the right Christianese word, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen. And everybody thought I was a Christian. And I felt uncomfortable about it. And each time there was an altar call, I felt uncomfortable. Because what would they think? I would be exposed. And one day, an American pastor came and said, you don't have to do anything. Just wherever you are, just say in your heart, just say you are born again. I said, this is for me. This is my escape route. But it wasn't the real thing. I believe God knew that I would eventually become a pastor. And if I had not taken that decision, you can imagine me being a pastor without being born again. And when you get to that level, you probably would not be able to answer the altar call before your congregation. They'll be wondering, Pastor, they said, have you given your life? Even the man of God will be wondering, Pastor, maybe you made a mistake. But what was happening was I was hiding. I was ashamed. I believe I could have it my way. But the Holy Spirit kept on troubling me. And what I was afraid to do in a church environment, I did in a crusade. That message was preached. This scripture was read. This scripture was preached. And as I was on my way to Damascus, like Paul, I fell off my horse of arrogance, of pride, of rebellion, of disobedience, and I fell at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ and worshipped him and gave my life to him. And he called me to serve. Why am I going through all this? I believe that there's someone here. Another year has come. You are still, this is not religion. It is Christianity. It's not churchianity. It is Christianity. It's not about hanging around. It is about a relationship. My life has never, never been the same. Sometimes I wonder, where would my life go if I decided to go without Jesus? What direction? Where would I be able to anchor my hope? It's not, life is not a bed of roses, but you have where to anchor your hope. Because the Bible says Christ in us is the hope of glory, not the hope of shame, hope of glory. God is able to turn around the life of anyone. I don't go back into my story because I do not want to glorify my past. But God is able to turn around the life of anyone. And I want to read something, and I will round up for today. What I discovered, and that's part of what I was able to get together on our website as I introduce you to the man. I met the man that my wife and all my family members and a lot of us here have met with. One, Christianity is about a man, Jesus Christ, who gave his life that we might live. Such is his love for us. You might have a different concept or different idea, but Christianity is all about a man. It is not just introducing ourselves as a Christian. It is being Christ-like. The first time the word Christianity was used, it is because people saw the children of God being Christ-like. So it's not a title, it is a relationship. And it's all about a man, Jesus Christ, who gave his life that you and I would live. And such is his love for us. Two, Christianity is not a rigid adherence to rules and regulations. It's not about compliance under duress. Nor is it about fear, only about fear of eternal judgment. It's a willingness. You're giving your life. You're surrendering yourself. It is not about someone manipulating you or influencing you or using you. It is about you willingly entering into the relationship. Three, Christianity is about a relationship that transcends any that human nature can ever be capable of. It's all about a relationship. It's all about a relationship. And if there is no relationship, then you are not walking and being Christ-like. It's all about a relationship. Four, Christianity is about a friend above all friends who will never leave us nor forsake us. And so great is his faithfulness. There's a friend that is closer than a brother. If he says he will not leave you, he will not leave you. If he says he will not forsake you, he will not forsake you. There's nobody else that can be closer to you because he's there with you in your sleep, in your dream. He can be there with you. In your private moment, he can be there with you. If you're going out and coming in, he's there with you. As long as you embrace him and have a relationship with him. Lastly, Christianity is Jesus who waits patiently to be let into our hearts so that we may establish that perfect bond with him. You come every day, come to service, be part of everything that God is doing, you do, but you have not allowed him to come into your heart. You might be doing what I wanted to do many years back, just enjoy the environment and make it socials. But when we look around, we know that these things are not the way things are. You need to be able to anchor your hope. Every other thing has failed. Technology fails. Government has failed. Family has failed. That friend has failed. Every other thing will fail you. But he says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you unto the ends of the earth. We need Jesus here on earth, and we need Jesus eternally. And how do you get into this relationship? You acknowledge your sins. you acknowledge that you have sinned and fallen short of his glory. Two, you confess those sins. Don't just push them. The Bible says, whosoever confesseth his sins is just and faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Whoever covers his sin will not prosper. You cannot just push it under the carpet. You cannot just say, well, I'm in church, or my family are Christians. It doesn't work that way. It's a personal relationship. It's not just a corporate relationship. It's a personal relationship. Who do men say I am? Jesus Christ asked in Matthew 16. Who do men say I am? There were lots of suggestions, because everybody has a suggestion. Everybody has an opinion. But it now went down to the basics. Who do you say I am? And everybody began to scratch their head. The fact that you are in church does not make you a Christian. The fact that you are related to Christians, or your parents are Christian, or your parents or built a church, or you built a church, does not make you a Christian. And when Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ was so excited. It says, Peter, son of Barjona, flesh and blood has not revealed. This is not persuasion. This is not influence. This is conviction. It is the Holy Spirit that has convicted you. And unto you, I give the key. Not them. Not everybody. Unto you. You that have this revelation. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Power is given as a result of a relationship. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Three, you must ask for forgiveness. Four, you must repent of those sins. You must walk away from those sins. Five, you must forsake all your old ways and sinful habits. And six, you were born again for a purpose. You must become part of the family of God. Apostle Paul says in Acts 27, the God that I belong to and I serve has told me there will be no loss of life. And I believe the same thing, that as we belong to God and we serve him, God himself is now obligated to take care of all our affairs. I mean, Lord, take care of all your affairs. I want us to rise up on our feet. I'll be brief about this. I'm not going to do like the pastor says. If you want to, say in your heart. Man always looks for a way of escape. When man sinned in the Garden of Eden, it's not as if God did not know that he had sinned. But God always gives a way out. Mercy. He's a merciful God. His mercy will say no to judgment. And the merciful God came to Adam and said, Adam, what happened? Where are you? Not your physical location. Where is your spiritual location? Where are you? And instead of Adam to acknowledge his spiritual location, he began to blame. And he began to say, well, it is the woman that you gave me. It is the job that you gave me that is affecting my relationship. It is the blessing you gave me that is affecting. It is the house you gave me. It is the money you gave me. It's the status. It's the things that you have given me that is affecting my relationship with you. God moved on. Eve, what happened? Eve now blamed the serpent. We need to be able to acknowledge, because therein comes mercy. Now I want you to ask you a question. If we know this merciful God, what would have happened? And I want you to just take it in retrospect. What would have happened if Adam had fallen at the feet of God and says, have mercy, this is what happened. What would have happened? Think about it. Why did God come and say, where are you? Because he wanted Adam to ask for mercy. He wanted Eve to ask for mercy. Remember, Cain killed Abel. And when judgment was passed on Cain, that he would be a vagabond, and anyone out there will be a vagabond and all that. And Cain said to God, this punishment is too much for me. Anybody out there that sees me will kill me. What did God say? No, I will put a mark on you. I will be merciful. That nobody will make that mistake of harming you. This is the man that killed his brother. I want us to pray for ourselves. If you're here and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I just want you to lift up your hand. This is before God. You are not impressing me. You are not impressing anybody. I discovered that long ago. God has a plan for you. You are not only saved to do nothing. You are saved to be sanctified and to serve. Jesus, the word of God said to Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I've known you, I've sanctified you and ordained you. I've known you. Yes, you would be saved, you would be sanctified, and you would serve me. If you're here and you're not born again, this is just yet another opportunity before the year begins to wind up. Just lift up your right hand unto him. If you are not born again, you know, God knows. I don't know. The person next to you doesn't know. But you know you have not given your life to Jesus. You know. The Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. He knows those that are his. He knows them. You can deceive the person next to you. You can deceive your family members. You can deceive the pastor. You can deceive everyone. But he knows where you are. And God is asking the same question that he asked Adam. Where are you? Where are you? Not your physical location. It's your spiritual location. Where are you? Father, in the name of Jesus, I've done what you asked me to do. Sharing my story that it may provoke the faith of someone. The jailer said, sirs, how can I be saved? And Paul and Silas says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do you believe? The scripture says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will not be put to shame. Father, in the name of Jesus, let the salvation of your children, both on site, online, let it not be by conviction, let it not be by persuasion, let it not be by influence or manipulation, let it be by conviction. Let your Holy Spirit convict. As your Holy Spirit kept on stirring my heart that I cannot remain the way I wanted to, let the same Holy Spirit stir the hearts of these ones. Let them be willing. Let them be obedient. So that as they take a decision, the gifts that you have prepared for them, they will not walk away from it. We know, oh God, the ultimate gift you have prepared, custom made on the cross of Calvary for each and every one of us is the gift of life, the gift of salvation, the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of a new beginning. Father, let no one walk away and say, no thanks. Let no one walk away and say, I will think about it. Let the ultimate gift be received. As we celebrate Jesus Christ, let the ultimate gift be received. And let the gift of the Holy Spirit be received. And let every blessing that comes with our relationship be received. Thank you, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated.